Hey friends, thanks so much for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. We're so glad to have you with us. And today, Rick continues in his series called Transform. Together, we'll dive into God's Word and discover powerful principles that can truly change our lives from the inside out. Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially, and vocationally. You'll experience how God's truth brings real transformation to every part of your life. And now let's join Rick for the final part of a message called From Stressed to Blessed.
Number 6. In the next verse of Psalm 23, David says, I'm going to let God be my defender. Let God be my defender. Now, another common source of stress is conflict, opposition, criticism, attacks. And there are people in your life who simply don't like you. There are people you work with, they criticize you, maybe out of jealousy, maybe out of fear. But there are maybe there are people in your life, in your own family. Maybe there's a family member who will not let you enjoy anything. They just are always ragging on you. They're always putting you down. They never have a positive word. If you have any success, they downplay it. They minimize it. And you've had these people in your life, and they're always attacking you, and they're always putting you down, and they're always criticizing you. And when that happens, your natural response is what? Attack back. Criticize back. Retaliate. Get even. But when you get even with somebody who's criticizing you, it puts you on the same level. Now, if you forgive them, it puts you above them. But if you get even, you're no better than they are. Now, because of the pluralization in our society, we have people around us all the time who totally disagree with us. People live with, around you, and work around you who don't agree with you and don't like you and maybe don't even like Jesus. And as a result, they will criticize you and they will put you down. And there are other reasons too, not just because of that. But in our society today, our civilization is losing its civility. The world is getting more rude. Would you agree with that? And one of the things that's causing that is the internet. Because the internet allows you to hide behind, anonymously behind a screen and spout all kinds of vile things against other people. And things that people would never say to you face to face, they wouldn't have the courage to say, they'll spout off and they will minimize you and belittle you and they'll be rude to you and they'll criticize you and they will attack you on the internet. All they are doing is revealing the smallness of their heart. Little people belittle people. Little people belittle people. Great people make people feel great. So when somebody's always belittling other people, they are just revealing the smallness of their heart. That they have a little knot for a heart. And they have to belittle others thinking that's going to make them feel better. How do you handle rude people? How do you handle mean people? You don't. You let God handle them. You let God be your defender. Now, David is a pro at this because David knows what it means to be attacked, not just emotionally or verbally, but literally physically. In the story of King David, David as a young man was anointed by Samuel, God's prophet, to be the next king of Israel. But it was done in secret, so nobody knew about it. David knew about it. His family knew about it. He knew he was the rightful king. But then for the next years, the better part of much of his life, he spends it running from the first king who wants to kill him. And he's hiding in caves. And he's being maligned, and he's being demeaned, and he's being put down, and rumors are being told about him. He's being criticized constantly. And yet he never would say a bad word against the king. He would never attack back. He would never retaliate. He only said good. And God was preparing David to be the king after his own heart. And David says in Psalm 23, verse 5, look at this verse. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. What's David talking about here? It's a metaphor. He's saying, you know what? God is so good to me. He says, I'm going to give you, David, a banquet in front of your enemies. And I'm going to anoint your head with oil, which is a symbol that says, I'm going to say to the world, this is my guy. Back off. This is the guy I've chosen. This is the guy who's going to be the next leader. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. God, you are so good to me in spite of my attackers, in spite of my critics. You just keep blessing me and blessing me and blessing me. And he says, I'm just going to trust you, and I'm going to let you be my defender. Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2, David says this. How I love you, Lord. You are my defender against criticism and everything else. You are my protector. You are my strong fortress. In you I am safe. You protect me like a shield. Does David sound stressed out there? No. But he's writing this in a cave. I'm not worried. God's in control. God is my defender. I don't have to defend myself. God will take care of me. And let me tell you something. It takes a lot of faith to rest when you're under attack. It takes a lot of faith to trust God and just not defend yourself when you're being maligned, you're being misunderstood, you're being misjudged in your office by other workers. Rumors are spreading about you, or people saying things about you online. When that happens, everything in you wants to rise up and say, I've got to do something about this. I got to correct this. I got to teach the truth when you're under attack. But it takes faith to rest in God. It also takes humility. It takes humility to not retaliate, but to let God be your defender. You are most like Christ when you remain silent under attack. Jesus was constantly attacked. And who was he attacked by? The religious people. The religious people did not like Jesus. Common, ordinary, everyday people, they loved Jesus. The prostitutes, the pimps, the tax collectors, the crooks, the thieves, the poor, all the outcast people, the lepers, they all loved Jesus. It was the religious people who could not stand Jesus. They called him a glutton. They called him a drunk. They called him a son of the devil. They called him the devil himself. They said he came from the devil. They said he's a false leader, false prophet, and on and on and on. Jesus never, ever retaliated. He never got them back. He never corrected them. He just remained silent. In fact, even right before he goes to the cross, the Sadducees and the Pharisees take Jesus into custody. They make him a prisoner. They take him to the Roman governor, Pilate, and they say to Pilate, this guy is trying to overthrow Rome. Now, they couldn't even find any witnesses to corroborate this. It was just a total bogus lie. It was an attack. This guy is trying to overthrow Rome. He wants your job. He's trying to get rid of you. Pilate looks at Jesus and goes, is that true? Is what they're saying right? And Jesus, it says, quote, he spoke not a word unto him. He wouldn't even dignify the accusation with a response. He remained silent because he had entrusted himself to the care of the Father. You are most like Christ when you remain silent in criticism. Now, I'll tell you a little secret, and I've learned this from experience. When you do this, you end up gaining more power, more authority, more influence, more anointing. Your critics actually end up helping you. They think they're hurting you by criticizing you. But when you respond correctly, it actually helps you. Because when people criticize you unjustly, falsely, and they say all kinds of mean things about you, Jesus said this, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Not only are you going to be rewarded in heaven, but God gives you, when you refuse to retaliate, but you respond in love, you say nothing but good things about your critics, When you do that, God gives you more power, gives you more influence, gives you more authority, and gives you more anointing. Your critics end up actually helping you. Is that cool or what? So then that's how you can thank God for your critics. Because thank you, God, for these critics, because it allows me an opportunity to be more like Jesus, which means I'm going to get more love, more power, more grace in my life, more blessing. And they end up actually causing you to be more blessed than before. You're blessed, not stressed. Peter has a good way to say this. 1 Peter 4:19. So if you're suffering according to God's will, keep on doing what is right. By the way, notice, some suffering is God's will. Some people say, oh, well, suffering is never God's will. Well, they just haven't read the Bible because it says it right there. Some suffering is God's will. If you're suffering according to God's will, keep on doing what is right and trust yourself to the God who made you, for he will never fail you. Now, there's one more common source of stress, and that is fearing the future. And so the seventh thing David says in this beautiful psalm is, I expect God to finish what he starts in me. I expect God to finish what he starts in me. Now, are you a person who is afraid of the future? Are you a what-if-er? You're always what-if-ing. What if this happened? What if this went wrong? What if that went bad? What if, what if, what if, what if, what if? If you're a what-if-er, it leads to an enormous amount of stress in your life. It's unnecessary stress. Because here's what David says. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. That's what I've got to look forward to. Goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to heaven anyway. You know, when a shepherd has a flock of sheep, he usually has a couple sheepdogs. He's leading it from the front, and the sheepdogs are at the back, keeping everybody kind of in line. And these twin sheepdogs of mercy and love, or goodness and love, or like little sheepdogs in your life, following along through your life. Is that what you expect? You can either look at your future one of two ways. You could say, man, what if everything goes wrong? What if I don't have enough money? What if I lose my job? What if somebody walks out on me? What if, what if, what if, what if, what if? You can do that, or you can look at the future and say, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Those are your options. You can either see it from God's viewpoint, or you can see it from your fearful anxiety. How do you lower the stress? You say, I'm going to expect God to finish what he starts. And even if everything went wrong in my life, I'm still going to heaven. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, what do you expect? What you expect, there's a word for that. It's called a goal. And that's why, remember, I'm trying to get you each week to set one goal during 50 days of transformation. If you don't set goals, you're not living by faith, because goals are statements of faith. Set a goal for your physical health and your spiritual health. Next week, we're going to look at emotional and mental and spiritual, all these other areas. You say, I'm just tired of the pace I've been living. I can't maintain this. It's not sustainable. It's not satisfying. It's not even any fun. And we'll deal with those in the weeks ahead. I don't know what burden you're carrying. I don't know what's weighing you down. But I do know the answer. The last verse on your outline, Jesus says this, come to me. Come to me. Not come to church, not come to class, not come to clinic. Come to me, Jesus says. All you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you more work to do. I think some people actually think that's what the verse says. Come to me if you're weary and carrying heavy burdens, and Jesus says, I will give you what? Rest. Circle that. Rest. Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For many years, I never understood that verse. First place, as a kid, I didn't know what a yoke was. I thought it was like the part around the egg, okay? Or in the middle of the egg. A yoke is a board that is stretched with two, arches in it that you put over two cattle so that two cattle will pull a cart. The value of a yoke is it halves the load. Without a yoke, you got one cow, it's got to pull that entire load by itself. But if you yoke up the cow with another cow, then the two cows together pull the load together, and the load is half as heavy. Does that make sense? So when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, I didn't know. I just thought it was like, sounded to me like, oh, he's going to give me something else I got to deal with? Take my yoke. I got a heavy enough burden myself. Lord, I don't need to take your problems on me. That's not what at all what he's saying. When he says, take my yoke upon you, he's not saying, I'm going to give you my problem. Jesus doesn't have any problems. He's saying, take my yoke upon you. I'm going to share your problem. I'm going to share your load. I'm going to take your stress, and I'm going to pull it with you. Wow. Now he says three verbs in this verse. He says come, he says learn, and take. He says come to me, Jesus. And then he says take the yoke on you. Team up with me. And then learn how I do it. This is going to lighten your load. This is going to reduce your stress. This is going to make it easier for you to navigate. Now write this down. When I'm yoked with Christ, we move together, because you're obviously yoked together. We move together in the same direction and at the same speed. And those two are the problems that you have. You're going in the wrong direction and you're going at the wrong speed. But when you yoke up with Christ, you will go in the right direction and you will go at the speed that you can handle. And when you're yoked to Christ, you're not going to go off in a ditch because he's going to keep you on the right path. And when you're yoked to Christ, you're not going to run too fast and burn yourself out because you're yoked to Christ. You need to come to him. Now, let's bow our heads. Lord, I know there are many people who are tired and worn by the pace of modern living. And I know, Father, that of these different stresses that we've looked at, so many of them can be seen right here in our midst today. We know that many people are stressed out by worry, by fear, by conflict, by criticism, by indecision, by the rudeness of people around them, by a crowded schedule, by overwork, all of these different things. And Lord, if we just do it your way, life would be so much easier. If we would practice the Ten Commandments, if we would keep the Sabbath to rest our bodies, refocus our spirit, recharge our emotions, if we would fill our souls with beauty, not ugliness, if we would hear sounds of beauty and see scenes of beauty rather than filling our mind with so much negative news and negative talk shows and all of the conflict that is in the media today. Lord, I pray that each of these steps that David took, that we would take today. Now you pray. Would you pray? Say, dear God, in your mind, just say, I want to look to you to meet all my needs. I know that there's no person who could possibly meet all my emotional, spiritual, mental, physical needs. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And God, starting today, I'm going to obey your instructions about rest. You make me lie down in green pastures. Help me to fill my soul and my surroundings with beauty, with art, with music that you have given for the expression of emotions. Thank you that you make me lay down in green meadows and beside calm, quiet waters. And Father, those things that I don't know what to do and when I'm just confused and I lack the wisdom, help me to go to you for guidance. Father, I need your wisdom in the days ahead. And when I go through dark valleys, help me not to be afraid of the shadow, but to turn to the light and look into your eyes, Jesus. And when I'm ready to give up, you know what I should do. And Father, when I feel like I'm under attack, and when I feel like others are against me, would you be my defender? Help me to speak no words of unkindness, but to return good for evil, to pray for those who persecute, to love those who hate, to do good to those who do evil. Would you be my defender, my protector, my fortress? Would you protect me like a shield? And let me trust you. And God, I'm going to expect you to finish what you start in me. And rather than what-ifing the future, I'm going to say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus, you said to come to you, so I come to you. And I want to take your yoke on me. I want to team up with you. I want to learn of you. And I want to move forward in the direction and at the pace that you choose. Slow me down, Lord, that I may see your plan for my life. Jesus Christ, I invite you to take over every area of my life and my mind and replace my stress with your serenity. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hey, if you've just prayed along with Rick to accept Jesus in your life, Rick would love to hear from you. Just email rick@pastorrick.com. And now this is really one of my favorite parts of the broadcast. This is letters from our listeners. And now here's Rick.
Today, I want to share with you a very special testimony from one of our listeners named Marquita. And thanks to Daily Hope and your support, she recently asked Jesus Christ to be the leader of her life. Here's her story. So, Pastor Rick, I wanted to let you know that I have prayed the prayer of salvation that you included in the Deepening the Eyes of Faith message. I've been listening to your messages for years. In fact, my child wouldn't even be here today if it weren't for your words. You wrote, "There may be accidental parents, but there are no accidental children." Well, I've given birth to a beautiful baby girl. And she's the light of my life. In fact, it now hurts to remember a time that I was fighting to decide whether I was going to have her or not. But I repeated your words throughout my pregnancy. There are accidental parents, but there are no accidental children. And although I'm a single mom today with the support of my family, we're thriving. I want to make sure that she grows up to find her purpose and to serve God. So thanks for renewing my faith in God. And as I still try to find and fulfill my purpose, please pray for me and my child. Wow. Marquita, you are so right. God does have a plan and a purpose for every single baby. There are no accidental babies. So I want to take a moment right now and just pray for you in this broadcast. I pray for you and for your daughter. Lord, I'm asking you right now to put your hand of protection, your hand of blessing, your hand of guidance on Marquita and her daughter. And I'm praying for both of them to know your purpose, to feel your presence, to discover your power, to live in your plan for each of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, when you give a gift to Daily Hope, you're helping share the hope of Jesus with people everywhere. And right now, your gift will be doubled by the $50,000 matching grant. So please go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, go to PastorRick.com or just text the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.